Hi, I'm Sophie.
Hi, I'm Paul. And we are
SP Film Viewers.
Love Actually or Die Hard? Can a film incorporate those two things? This film tries to. Maybe you might just think of just title alone.
Don't even twig.
Really? Hello everybody. This is the first Christmas film we're covering this year.
Whoop whoop! Christmas is here, Sophie time, and ready to cheer.
And so we thought I'd check out this 2021 Netflix original called, if you haven't guessed already, Love Hard.
Yep. Which now you just made me realise Love Actually, Die Hard. Yeah, get it, see it. I didn't realise.
I can't believe that. It's so obvious.
It is when you pay attention to it.
So you're saying you didn't pay attention to this film?
No, I meant the title. You just said it was Love Hard.
Why do you think it was called that then?
I don't know, like somebody falls in love hard, like, and fast, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but that wasn't what the film was really about, really.
It was quite a cute little film, I feel. It's a Netflix original. It seems quite like a Hallmark Christmas movie, but not so cliche.
It seems a bit more edgy in the swearing and tone of it, really, so... That's a positive in my eyes, because I could think if it's too like, oh my gosh, and like all that kind of like super cheesy things that you get from those Hallmark type of films, then it's like, oh, it doesn't do anything for me, because like normal people don't act like that.
It has more realism to it, and I quite like how the comedy side of things is within the film. It's not over the top, and there is one part where I think kind of, but that's it, and then it kind of gets to a point of where it's a lot more realistic.
What do you mean by realistic sense?
I think it's more just heartfelt, like the relationships and such are more realistic and you can kind of relate to them, and it seems to have a bit of an overrated part when she has like a Kiwi reaction.
Over-exaggerated.
Yeah. But the rest of it's not really that over-exaggerated, I wouldn't say, to that extreme.
Oh, no.
And that's the bit where it's like, well, it's more calm, realistic, and a little bit more normal. I think that's the one where it's like, it's a bit cringe. It's like the bridesmaid shitting in the middle of the street kind of scene for me.
From Bridesmaids, yeah.
Yeah, whereas this isn't that bad, and then Bridesmaids just ramp it up.
But that's consistently... Yeah,
it's a throughout, yeah, which I appreciate that this isn't, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, we'll get to those class as cringe moments later on, but the lead lady, Natalie, or Nat, played by Nina Dobrev, and I was like, I feel like I've seen her in something before, but from her, like, just like a quick Google search and everything, the main thing she's known for is being in a TV series called Vampire Diaries, but I haven't watched that.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I know what you mean, and I can envision the front cover now you said it.
Right, okay. I guess you've not seen it, but no. Other than just the title, knowing the title.
Knowing the cover of it, yeah, right. But not actually watched it throughout. Okay. Which is weird, because if it was out when like all the other vampire stuff was, I was pretty much into that.
I don't know how long the series has been going on, whatever, but yeah.
And then you've got Josh, who, well, at the beginning is this... dishy, dreamy guy, and pretty much turns out, spoilers, if you haven't seen it already, Josh is not Josh.
It's a catfish story, basically, isn't it?
And, oh my God, you know me. I bloody love a catfish story.
Well, I don't know if people actually do know that, because you never really brought it up.
No,
before.
I guess not. I do.
Like the TV show.
I love catfish. I'm normally rooting for the catfish, if I'm completely honest.
The one who's looking for love. Or doing the catfish, not the person being catfished.
Yeah, the person that's catfishing.
Yeah, because they're trying...
Because the reason behind them catfishing is normally sincere and it's not malice. Even though it seems like an awful thing to do, it's probably because they're insecure with how they look. They don't think they're good enough. And actually, they're better people than the picture they're putting up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people are shallow and fickle. And
yes, people generally base things purely off looks from the first glance, yeah. essentially. And go, oh, wow, you look nice.
I know how that feels. I've been a bigger girl. I'm aware that you can put a picture up and nobody normally messages you unless you're Paul. And then he does. And that's great.
Well, I could say the same thing for me, really, because, like, for me, I felt like online dating was the way I could be more comfortable in, like, expressing myself in, mm-hmm. like, who I am, my personality and stuff. It's always hard for me to initially, or certainly back then, more so,
mm-hmm.
like, to say, like, about talking about my interests and speak to anybody. But
blimey, like, the first time we met,
mm-hmm.
you didn't even look at me,
mm-hmm.
and now we actually sit and do a full podcast where we talk for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending. Yeah. We wouldn't even get that out of you. Mm-hmm. You were very good at, when we first dated, like, texting. You were brilliant at, like, that communication. Like,
it's a lot easier for me to
write it down or then exactly. actually verbalise it.
Yeah.
And I think this is what I love about this film, because, yes, it is a Christmas film. It is spewed all over Christmas.
Yeah, I would definitely say it would fall into that category of there's no doubt.
But it could be taken away, and you could take all the Christmas element away and it still could be a film.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It could be set in any particular season. I think that's more of a backdrop, isn't it, really, just to give the holiday spirit, I suppose. Yeah.
And I think you've got one extreme to the other. So I really saw myself in Josh as a character, and I felt like you were more Nat in like our like relationship that we have, which, not saying you're a woman and I'm a man, it was more, I think Nat was more like abrupt, boisterous, and a little bit more like assertive. Like, she loved Die Hard. That was like a Christmas film in her opinion.
It is a Christmas film.
Exactly. That's the issue. And Josh, bless him, was more sensitive. He was a bit...
But I do like Love Actually, and he says that's the best Christmas film ever. Yeah. So I'm on both camps, really, but...
I'm on neither. I'm on Josh's side. Die Hard is not a Christmas film. It's not. This brought up so many things for us again. But mm-hmm. Love Actually is one of the best. I won't say it's like the best. It's one of my favourites, and that's for sentimental reasons between you and me.
Exactly, yeah.
And yes, it is 10 worthy. But is it
previous episode.
Yeah. Is it the most Christmassy film out there, or the best Christmas film? It's A Wonderful Life. Like, they didn't even mention that in this film.
How dare they? Yeah,
I know. Yeah, yeah. Right,
but if you think about, I know that's
too old, isn't it, for this film?
No, not so much that. It's more the fact that because there's only a small portion of that takes place at Christmas, and it's just now become like a woman. So it's it could go into a whole thing about like, oh, is it a Christmas film because it only portion of it takes place, like, say Serendipity, where that's like the beginning, and then the back end comes round full circle.
Like, you say, like, Die Hard is because it's set at Christmas,
yeah.
but it doesn't make me feel Christmassy. Like, I would say Serendipity is 100% a Christmas film. Like, I have no brainer about that. Even though it's not all based in Christmas at that time, the majority of the season is Christmas.
No, it's not, though.
It is. It's at the beginning.
We've discussed this in a previous episode.
Yeah, but it is. Anyways, and this is what I kind of love about the film. So let me just give you all a bit of background. So Nat is a modern woman dating, and basically, I feel like one of those...
And she works at a place, it's a bit of cringe, like, social media is what she works at. It's like, oh, come on.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look.
And she writes articles about basically her bad dates. Like, she goes on several dates on Tinder. I guess that's what it is. She's swiping right and swiping left. Oh,
the equivalent. I think it's, what's it called? Flirt Alert is like the equivalent... Yeah, so can't be, having Tinder, that would cost too much.
And basically she goes out on dates just to write how bad they are. I think she's looking for love. And she stumbles across Josh, basically, who they end up hitting it off. They talk all night, they stay on the phone to one another. He's technically not a true catfish, because normally a catfish won't talk on the phone. Like, they wouldn't. I've watched many catfish mm-hmm. programs to know. That they would not.
Some of them do. I've seen some of the shows, but then...
Yeah, but they get somebody else to talk to them, or they put a deeper voice on. Whereas Josh was just being himself. His voice was his voice.
Yeah.
He was savvy enough to know how to Photoshop. pictures and be like, hi Nat, bye Nat, you know, and make it feel like it was realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to a lot of effort to do that for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought she'd got this really dishy, good-looking guy and had a brilliant personality to go with it. Basically told her boss, I'm going to go fly over to, where are they?
Josh lives in Lake Placid in New York, which when I always think of Lake Placid, I always, the title of the film, Lake Placid, comes to mind, which is like a, about a, like a killer crocodile type of thing.
All right.
Yeah.
I was surprised when they said New York, and then I was looking thinking, what, this is like a cute little cozy town. I don't understand.
There's different parts of New York than the...
And this is just a cozy little vibe. So she goes out on a right, like, hunch. To like, oh, okay, I really like him. We've been getting along. I think they've been talking for like a couple of months. I'm going to just fly out and see him and write an article about it. And the boss is like, oh, yeah, definitely do that. And it'll be amazing. So she braves it and literally just goes to see Josh at his house. There is one kind of annoying character at the beginning while she's at the airport. Where he has like
E-Rock, isn't he, or Eric?
I don't know.
That's what I've got written down. He's a taxi driver.
Yeah. Eric.
And he's singing about when the car radio is like, the baby, it's cold outside song. And, which is, I agree. I remember, again, talking about in the previous episode, that being brought up in the I'm Thinking of Ending Things, where there's a rape song, basically, you know.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
You know, like, it's... The way it's, obviously at the time, it probably didn't seem, it seemed kind of innocent, but it's like, no, you will stay in my house. I'm not letting you leave, you know.
Yes and no. I think there's a bit of, I think it's more meant to be come across as flirtatious. And I think me being a woman, you can manipulate it to be that.
I don't think it's a particularly great song.
It isn't.
Isn't as a man saying this. But
I don't feel like he's raping her. if I'm completely honest. I think it's just an innocent song, but nowadays I feel like we love to make
everything like PC, don't we? Like,
yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Can't have anything that isn't... Like the Pogues, like they're trying to get rid of the Pogues, weren't they, one year, because you faggot or something. Yeah, sorry, I might ruin the podcast now.
No.
But I don't think it was actually meant in that context. Sometimes I think that's it can be a bit too insensitive about certain subjects. For this song kind of does get brought up several times.
In a good way. I'd like the sort of the interpretation that comes across when they're doing one of the caroling scenes in that. So, like, yeah, I applaud the film for that, doing like a different... But it's not like the greatest singing, except for Natalie doing. Her voice is pretty good, but Josh is like, okay. But at least he does a different spin on it, which kind of works.
I like that he's not perfect. And I think that's what this has about a film about a romance, in a sense. It's kind of like a chick flick, but you don't have these handsome, beautiful characters. And I think that's realistic. And I think that's something we need, which is nice to see. Like, Natalie, yeah, she's pretty, but she's not like absolutely knock out of the park pretty. You know, she can look a bit normalized, which is nice. Josh, bless him, he's like the geeky guy.
Geeky Asian guy, yeah. Yeah,
and
with glasses and all that. And
you can tell why nobody would want to swipe for him, I guess. And it sounds awful, but it's like...
It's a bit harsh.
On first look, she's like, ugh. And it is shallow, basically. But he's a wonderful soul, and obviously he's got a wonderful heart, and that means more than anything. So you kind of get to this point of where Eric, she turns up at Josh's house, and...
Meets the family,
and they're so overwhelmed and excited that he's got a girlfriend. And then Josh comes out, and it's like, oh, that's not the person in the pictures, which must be a hard way. And you can see Josh looks really flustered and didn't want to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing for a catfish, because you have been yourself, but you have lied.
Yeah.
But in your opinion, you haven't, because you feel like you were yourself, you were the your true authentic self. The only difference was you just didn't look the way you thought I did.
Yeah.
And I think that can be kind of hard on somebody who probably doesn't understand why the person who's been catfishing has catfished, because you've got it all together. And I think that's kind of the moral of it. Well, don't just judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. And as the film kind of goes on, it's Nat who then becomes the catfish herself to appease this.
So she's a catfish in a different matter.
Yeah.
She actually sees the real life
Josh.
Josh.
What's he called? Tag.
Tag.
Like, I don't, I was like, what a stupid name.
And basically gets to a point where she's in the bar and sees him because she's gone out drinking and trying to like help her sorrows after she yells at Josh and steals baby Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is where the Kiwi incident cringe. Happens.
Yeah. Because you see her doing like some karaoke thing. She has a shot of some like a spirit of some kind that has Kiwi in it. She's points out this. Start of the film, some point she's like, oh, I'm allergic to kiwi, and so I'm thinking, well, I can't see her face, and then she turns around and it's like all blown up and swollen, and thinking, how do you not know straight away that someone's, you know, oh, my face feels a bit weird, and that she's singing on and everyone's going like, whoa, what the hell,
and she's singing I Would Do Anything for Love, Meatloaf song.
Yeah, it's Christmas karaoke, mate,
and it's a bit it's just cringy a little bit, and the odds of it being kiwi in a shot as well,
yeah,
like
pretty
it's
slim
like,
anyway.
Yeah, so it's not really fully plausible, but
whatever. Yeah,
they thought it was gonna add comedy value. Apparently,
didn't laugh. So
no, I didn't.
I didn't laugh. So
it. But yet again, Josh comes in. He sees her. The other guy, Tag, is looking at her like she's absolutely grotesque and laughing. And Josh takes her to a vet's. Just because they're in a small town and it's the closest one, otherwise she could have actually died. So he's caring for her in a capacity.
Yeah, I don't think, because the Americans and the insurance, health insurance thing, I don't know if it's, you know, he does ask, do you have good health insurance? So I don't know if it costs less because you're at the vets. I have no idea.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of just like, it's a little joke because he's like, he doesn't know what to do. So it's like, well, thinking on his feet somewhat and,
but it's sweet. It is. Like, the other guy's done nothing for it, and he's still going out of his way, mm-hmm. even though she hates him. So, basically, they kind of come up with this little agreement that if she pretends to be Josh's girlfriend for Christmas, he'll set her up with Tag.
Mm-hmm.
And she can go out with a real guy, basically, in the pictures.
And so she has to sort of, like, bend in with... You know, like learn about what he truly likes, and like, oh my god, I like this book too, even though I don't really agree with what the themes of it are about and all that kind of stuff. And I like rock climbing, and if you know, it's terrified of heights, and kind of like, I'm pretend to.
I think that's a worse kind of catfish. Yes, okay, you've got the looks, and you both like each other's appearances, but you're not being yourself, and that's
which
even
is more
worse.
Long term, isn't it? Because you know, like, you can't really be. It's not going to work if you really don't like what the other person does as like hobbies or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just interest in literature or whatever.
Exactly. And I think if you don't have the same agreements on certain things, it makes it a lot harder.
She's vegetarian. He's all about the meat.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not the same, like, oh, people who can't be in relationships because
but
of that.
But I think she was pretending to not be a vegetarian and not be a true authentic self. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to get to a point where it's just going to run a heavy toll, mm-hmm. and it's just not going to work, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So Tag thinks that Nat is his long-distance cousin or something like that to Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they go on several dates, but at the same time she's pretending to be Josh's girlfriend at home, which is getting a bit tricky for her because she's trying to... It's a small town. So people are going to like notice certain things.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas element comes into it where... More when I think Josh's brother comes home.
And he's a bit cringe.
I can relate sometimes. Like, not saying, like, my sister is cringe, bless her. But I think just because, like, if you've got a family member that is further away,
mm-hmm.
when they come home, it's all exciting and shiny. And they are the most amazing things in sliced bread. And because Josh, bless him, is there every day, you kind of take people for granted.
But he's... like the older sibling, and so he's, you know, he's this successful, and so he's got the hot wife and everything like that,
and
he's
got a great profession and
all that kind of stuff. But
always wants to up and do better than his brother, though. Does
yeah, it's just that's what I mean about annoying.
What's he called now?
He's called Owen.
Owen
Lynn, and Josh Lynn's his brother. But I looked at him and I think he looks familiar as well. But he's
is he from Glee?
He is from Glee. Harry Shum Jr.
And that just, I don't know why that just came to me.
And also Grey's Anatomy, but yeah, I haven't really seen anything, but I know you've seen some of Glee.
Yeah. He was annoying in that too.
Did he do like that Glee karaoke type of, oh,
yeah,
kind of free form, jazzed up singing in that as well? Yeah.
No, I mean, when you were saying it, and then I don't know, I'm thinking, hey, I do know you. And then Glee, before you even said it, just popped into my head. But yeah, he is from Glee.
Yeah. Because that was like, oh, when he's doing the Christmas carols and be like, like jazzing them up in the, wait, is that cat? No, just leave him.
I think he was more annoying than this than he was in Glee, but still he wasn't the greatest.
And then also when they're doing that, and it's like when Josh and Nat fixing the Baby It's Cold Outside song, and he's like having a strop. It's like, I'm gonna do it. It's like, grow up, man.
Yeah, like, and
being a child about it, it's like, what benefit is that to anybody, like watching or just even to like, you're supposed to be the older sibling here. Why are you acting that way? Like, there's no need.
I think it's when you've been in the limelight and everybody idolizes you, and then somebody else gets attention. I think that's like, been taken away from me. Why they the main focus?
Yeah, I know it's trying to be comedic, but it really doesn't come across that way.
And I think it helps the story for Josh. It makes you really like Josh more and feel sorry for him, because actually he does a lot for his family. He's always there for them, and yet they don't seem to value.
Yeah.
Them.
Doesn't he also, does Owen make like a comment to like, oh, because Josh used to be chubby, and then she says to Nat, like, oh, you were a chubster too, or something.
Yeah, which annoyed me. I feel like this film really, really, I was very relatable.
Right.
In a lot of senses. So, like, being a chubster as well, like, still a little bit chubby now, but I used to be a lot chubbier. And I like my food. And if someone said that to me while I'm eating something, that would make me feel a lot insecure.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, who are you to judge me if I want a cookie? You know, while I'm eating a cookie, you just made this cookie not taste nice now. Thank you very much. But in the end, you kind of hope that all of this, I'm rooting for Josh, like, out of all of this. I don't give a shit about Nat. Like, she deserves it. She's been shallow. She's just looking at a pretty picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then going after the pretty picture, basically, even though it's not the guy she spoke to.
So it's typical beats of the story, isn't it? You kind of know where it's going to ultimately go by the end of it, though. There's no airs and graces about it. But
you do get Owen announcing him and his wife are pregnant.
Yeah.
And then,
again, trying to steal a limelight back. And then Josh is trying to one-up him on that.
Because Nat told him to do that. She did say, next time, like, he steals your shine, take it back. But I don't think she meant propose to me in that level. I think she more just meant, you know, don't let him do that. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have to always outshine you. You are worthy and you are, you know, important.
Yeah.
So he gets down on one knee and that's like,
you know. She's like, trust me, it's going to be fine. But just like, just do this and just keep the act going for a little while longer. And
you know it's not going to be fine because now it's in the newspapers.
Yeah, somewhere like, oh, I know it's a small town, but geez. Come on, like, they've got nothing else to report about, like, front page and everything and all. And then there's that montage where they have to steal all the newspapers from. It's like, oh, Christ.
I think that's quite sweet, though, the car scene that they do get at the end of that, where she's like, once this is all over, please can you put a profile picture of yourself? And actually, you know, you are a lovely person, so.
As opposed to all those ones where he looks like, he's like an axe murderer and with the rope. And
Batman killer with your eyes. Because she did say, can I see the pictures you've put up? And he's holding an axe and a rope and somewhere else. And it looks like he's just going to tie you up and chop you into tiny pieces.
Just need to put the one with like a cloth and a chloroform bottle or something just to add to that.
But I know pictures mean a lot, like, I used to do lots of close-ups of my face because I didn't like the rest of my body. And you used to, for some reason, not know how to smile at a camera.
I still didn't know how to smile.
No, you're a bit like Chandler Bing, bless you. From that Friend episode, you know, where Monica's like trying to do an engagement photo. And he's like, just smiling. He's like, you don't know. Like, he smiles normally when Monica's looking at him, but then you point the camera and his face just goes weird. That's what happens to you, bless you.
R.I.P. Matthew Perry.
Breaks my heart every time I think about it, to be honest. It really does. Like, that was a big loss for me, it was one of those things, you know, like, it sounds awful and I'm so sorry to anyone I offend. If somebody else has died and it's like a lot older celebrity and you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't really know them. Whereas I feel like Friends was something I really grew up with.
It's different people have different celebrities that they follow throughout whatever, and it kind of hits different depending on who it is. You know, like if you're going up watching like a TV show or listening to the music or whatever, then yeah.
I think he really hit, I know he struggled a lot with everything that he was going through. He always wanted to make people laugh. I think he reminds me of...
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was always putting on, you know, like, oh, I'm a funny guy. But yeah, at the same time, it's like hit more. And yeah, so it's probably the same kind of thing. But I know that's, yeah.
It's quite sad. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. God rest his soul. So Owen doesn't believe that Josh is this is real, basically. It's like, why, how's he got this girl? He, you know, what's going on? He doesn't deserve her, and suspects something, doesn't he, basically?
Yeah.
This is all while Nat's trying to date Tag in the background as well. Mm-hmm. So Josh is painting or doing like a gingerbread decoration or something, and Nat's not there, and they're wondering where she is. And he goes, oh, she's looking at restaurant wedding menus or whatever at this restaurant. And then Owen's like, oh, I just need to nip out, and has to go check and sees that actually she's on a date with Tag and that there's something suspect basically happening.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we just, in a nutshell, we get to a point where it all just unravels at this engagement party, don't we?
Oh, before we get to all the unraveling and stuff, there was a couple of things that happened before then, particularly the fact of revealing that what Josh wants to do with her as a career rather than working at the sports store or whatever it is, you know, with the mountaineering gear and stuff, that he makes these like scented candles for men, which you'd love, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and especially since he does something quite sentimental and sweet, like he's captured his granddad in a candle, which I think is a lovely kind of sentiment to have. Like, you can always smell that person if they're no longer here.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really tell anybody. I think Josh is one of those that keeps a lot to himself because he doesn't want to be judged or thinks people are not going to, they're going to frown upon it because, like, his dad's quite sport-driven. Obviously, Josh is going to take that on and help with the shop, and actually doesn't really want to do that. So his grandma is, she lives somewhat at home, but also seems to be part of the nursing home, doesn't she?
And, yeah, she takes Nat to the nursing home and talk about, like, obviously, like, because they, her and Josh met online, so she's like, oh, well, here's a success story, and, like, trying to get the older people to, you know, like, to make a profile and all that kind of stuff, so, like...
Feels like how I do, like, my mum and dad when they tried to be online.
Yeah, so sort of bending the truth a little bit, in a sense, to make you sound better, like, you know, so if I've got Parkinson's, maybe I just write, always on the move, or in a wheelchair, and rolling with my homies.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things, just like making it a bit quirky, or, yeah.
And then I think that does jump on a bandwagon saying, no, actually, you just need to be yourself. Honest. And
love
honest.
Love needs to be honest, not perfect.
Yeah. Right. I think that's true, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think we're not perfect in this relationship. Neither one of us are saints. And, you know, we don't look like a complete perfect couple. But it doesn't matter because we're honest with one another. If one of us is upset, one another will say. And that's how can we work.
Mm-hmm. And they do end up watching Love Actually, don't they? There's the scene that with the, you know, the, to me, you're perfect.
So, can't wait to put our Love Actually on this year. It's one that we always have to watch.
Going like, bleh.
I think that's just because she hasn't had love, and I think she's a bit of a cynic. I think if you actually have love, but Love Actually is not just about love in that capacity.
She said at the start, it's ironic because she said, "Oh, it's love is based. It's based on looks," which is exactly what she's going for.
Mm-hmm.
The end of it. So she's very hypocritical on that.
She really contradicts herself with some of the stuff she says. Yeah. Like Love Actually, don't get me wrong, there is very pretty people in it, and
there always is in these films. If you had a film full of, as it's for a better word, like munters or ugly people, then people wouldn't be interested in it because it's like, oh, I'm not going to fit see a film.
I think Love Actually has had a bit of a slander lately, just because obviously it's not very multicultural, you know, there isn't different ethnicities and races really in
it. In some cases, but yeah, some of the jokes or how they approach things in yeah. that, yeah. Like,
but it's an old film and it was acceptable back then. Like, if you watch Bridget Jones' Diary, I'm pretty sure there isn't, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that era, and I know it's not condonable, but it just...
Yeah, if you start stripping down everything from the past, then it's like, oh, we can't have that now, or, you know, there's certain...
And
things
I know,
that
like,
be allowed, but they are, and it's just like
representing the Prime Minister's girlfriend as chubby is a bit like. I always used to hate that part because it's like, well, she's not
yeah,
chubby.
Exactly. Yeah,
like,
but back then
she was.
Well, yeah,
you
gotta be stick thin and gotta be super, like Kate Moss.
Yeah.
Type of stick thin. Yeah.
You know, like, nobody was really big back then. It wasn't really a thing, was it?
Well, you were, but you were called out for it. Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and no one had problems calling you fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But so yeah, there's certain parts that I get what she's coming with, but that's because of the age of the film. And yet again, you could think about this with this film in 20 years' time or whatever. This might be like condoned as wrong, and we could twist it and change it, you know, into so many other capacities. Like, things age and things go on, and life changes, and that's just the way things are.
Yeah, approach to things. Yeah, absolutely. But now we're getting back. We come to like the more like when everything unravels, and
I just noticed as well that Tag doesn't celebrate Christmas, and I think that was something.
Oh yeah, that's right. You'd be like, "Ooh."
Well, I think that was something for Nat as well. Like, she was a bit like, "What?" So you don't even and realizing like, well, Josh, his family really embraces it. He cares and wants to be a part of something, and she was kind of like, "Well, we don't have anything in common here with Tag. Like, I'm a veggie." You know, his family run a steakhouse.
Yeah.
He loves walking and hiking and climbing and this book, and they don't have anything in common.
Yeah.
And to live with somebody, you really need to have something in common or enjoy capacities of certain things. Don't get me wrong, you don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. They were pretty boring, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be nice if you had something in common, not just, you look good.
Yeah, we're hot. Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, it's not going to last very long, is it, based off of that? So, yeah, so it all comes undone when Owen kind of finds out, oh, she's been at the steakhouse and, you know, kind of plan this surprise engagement, and it all kind of comes out from that. And there's, I don't know if you picked up on this, that I guess, I don't know if it's purposely done, but it feels like it's from Love Actually. It's kind of like the reverse.
Is it the balcony?
Yeah. Did you notice that?
Oh, now that you said it.
All right. Well, I didn't say it, did I?
No, just now that when you said it with Love Actually, and I was like, oh, I knew.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, that was the only thing I could twig in my head.
Up above the thing, but it's like, instead of like a declaration of love, it's more a declaration of like, I'm sorry I lied to you.
But I think this is like, it reminded me a bit of The Proposal when she was at the altar. Where she was meant to go and like, I don't know if they were meant to they somehow pretended that she was his girlfriend and then that they were engaged and then this wedding came off, but actually they fell in love. And it was the same thing kind of with this. You could tell that Nat was actually falling for Josh.
Yeah.
And the reason why she did what she did was because she cared about Josh and she cared about his family and the impact it was going to have on them. And that's why she was so honest about it, because she didn't want to hurt anybody and upset them. And that's the same in The Proposal. And that's why she doesn't marry him in The Proposal. So I saw the same similarities there. And she's just really honest and says, you know, he catfished me. I've been trying to get with Tag because he's a picture in the photos. And Josh feels like yay big at this point.
Yeah.
He feels really insignificant. His brother's gloating and thinks the cock of the shop. But actually, Josh gets everything he needs out of this. And that's something I absolutely love. He tells his dad he doesn't want to run the company. He's never really been into sports, and his dad seems so relieved.
Phew, thank God, because you're not really good at it anyway. So, it's
and
like, yeah,
it's smells his candles, and it's like,
it's my dad, and
encourages his son to help him start a business, and that's all he's ever wanted. So I feel like Nat did help him in some form. He then starts to become himself. He makes his own profile with actual pictures. And does what he's meant to do, and he gets on his right path of where he needs to grow and develop. Nat, it takes a bit longer, I think, because obviously it's like a snowstorm or something. She's stuck in a hotel with her boss.
Something like that, yeah, and she's still have to write this article that's more heartfelt about the whole situation, because she's like, no, got to have that story, you know, because he comes along to this surprise engagement gathering. It's like, oh, this is, well, this, I'm glad I came out of this trip, because now we've got a juicy story to write up for, you know, go big with.
And that kind of reminds me of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yes, so I guess this, you could say it borrows a lot of similarities from different films, doesn't it? But everything can't, you know, like, I'm not saying Hollywood's run out of ideas or such, but, you know, like, it's just easy to pick and borrow from different areas just to go, yeah, like, oh, that reminds me of this film or that. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if it's completely ripping off something. But I think this is kind of unique in the way that it's a catfish story that's set around Christmas.
And I feel like Catfish is not, I'm not condoning it, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. It's not. And I just want it to be like, people actually realise it's probably hard on the catfish. Unless you're doing it in a malicious way, then, you know, it's hard on the catfish. And
hurting multiple people's feelings.
Yeah, because I feel like in the end, it's always like, oh, woe is the person who's been catfished. And it's like, well, you don't actually understand, like, the person who's catfishing you is insecure. They feel...
It's when they start doing things like, oh, I need money for things. And if you're just, you're that gullible enough to be like, oh, I'll just send you $1,000 or whatever for...
Yeah, then the catfish is shitty and it's malicious. But with Josh's situation, he really loves Nat. He's fallen in love with her. He didn't anticipate this was going to happen. He just wanted affection and he didn't seem to feel like he could get it looking the way he did. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to be loved.
And at the back end, it kind of comes around with the title, Love Hard, you know, the two films. So she does the cue card thing where it's like, say it's Mormons instead of say it's carol singers. And
because they'd be out singing with them, wouldn't they, otherwise?
Something like that, yeah. So, yeah, it's like, you can borrow that. It's the title of the film, so you can borrow those two things. And then he writes response to like, oh, will you give me a chance or whatever she says. And he's like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, so they're both accepting of the films and accepting of each other as well.
And it's just a lovely way to end it. And it just feels all nice and cozy and fluffy and the right way. Like, can't complain how it ended, really, apart from they decided to do another little scene at the end, which weren't needed, but...
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not really the ending, is there?
But, so we haven't really talked about the fact of, like, I know you mentioned just now about like how sort of like a cozy ending it is, like the whole Christmas vibe it's got going on. It feels like, obviously, like it's at night time, so you've got all the lights and stuff, and it feels all like, so it gives you that kind of nice feeling that you want in like a warm setting. Whereas I'd see a lot of those other Hallmark films, and they can be like set in the daytime, and everything's all just bright and
white, and there's just snow on the floor, and it's blue skies
all the time. And
this was so warm feeling that the house with the family of Josh's was just so decorated. They clearly loved Christmas. It made it feel welcome inside and cozy. And the activities they did, like baking gingerbreads, carol singing, there was loads of stuff involved around Christmas. And I think that helped Nat, because she wasn't a big Christmas fanatic.
But I think that's also because where she's based in, like, LA, obviously they don't really have Christmas the same way, because it's not, like, seasonal. It's kind of sunshine all the time, pretty much, out there. So it's like very different.
In Australia, isn't it?
I guess, yeah.
But I think this is why I saw similarities in our relationship. So you came from a background, not saying you don't celebrate Christmas, but you definitely don't do Christmas like my family did or does. And I think you've had to come into it and embrace my Christmas a lot more than, let's say, how your side would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what a relationship is. It's compromise. So, like, you love Die Hard and think it's a Christmas film. I personally don't. And
I wouldn't say, like, I love, like, say it's the best Christmas film ever. And
I don't know if you just say it to wind me sometimes, just because you know it's going to trigger me.
Maybe a little, but I do enjoy it, but I wouldn't go like, oh, yeah, it's the best one ever.
But I think that's where we are. Sometimes we can be chalk and cheese, and I feel like you were more Nat in this relationship than than myself. I think I can relate to Josh as a character, and I really think he's a lovely character. He's a lovely soul, and he deserves his ending.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, since it is the first Christmas watch and neither one of us had seen it, that means you're up, Paul Parks.
Yeah. I've thought of...
Don't be a Scrooge about it.
Why do you mean that?
I'm just anxious, because normally you score lowly around Christmas. You do. Like, you're like how I am on Halloween.
All right, what do you guess my score will be?
A 6. Or a 7.
And you think that's low?
A 6 is low.
Well, I was basing it based off of what other, given other Christmas films.
Yeah. Is it going to be a 6?
No, 6.5.
Okay.
Because it's still obviously got those kind of hallmark tropes in the sense of like how the story, like, oh, it's nothing groundbreaking, but I do appreciate what it's going for in the storytelling sense, something a bit different from what regular Hallmark films would kind of go for, the sort of edge that it has to it with the, I guess, the swearing and just like the how they approach.
Oh, yeah, swore. Extra 0.5.
Rather than just, yeah, unrealistic, like no one talks like that type of thing, whereas, just, yes, more, in a more modern age, that would be the case, and just how, yeah, you're just more open to stuff. But there is a slight unrealistic in, like, how like, the brother being, like, a child about, like, how he reacts to things and such. And another positive, like I say, like, how it does feel like it's very cosy, how it feels and everything. Obviously, the Love Actually nods as well, which I kind of find funny thinking about, like, the fact that they sit down as a family and watch the film.
Some of it's like a bit cringe.
Okay,
fair enough. Risky.
But there we are. Yes, but so, for me, I think that's highish praise for, like, because, like, I've thought, look back on other ones and, like, think, like, Noel was quite low, so, yeah, so.
Noel, yeah, compared to this is better.
Yeah. So what do you score it then? I'm the opposite, like, please don't be, like, 10 or anything.
It's not going to be 10.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's not going to be 6 either. It's going to be higher than a 6.
Right.
So it's got its perks. Yes, I would watch it again. So that.
I wouldn't watch this again. But I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, every year that's on.
But like,
and the capacity of it being on Netflix also helps, because I feel like that's always kind of going to be around, and it's not going to, like, disappear and, like, oh, I can't get hold of it now.
Every other year, or, you know, like, within 3 years of watching it again, I would really love to go back to it and watch it again. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy. Just because it's got a catfish element to it, I do really enjoy that. And I think it's got a really good moral and meaning behind the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we all need to realise, yes, just be yourself and love yourself for who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
So that gives it extra points. The fact that it was levelled up with Christmas gives it extra points. And the fact that it did have Love Actually involved, which is one of our favourite Christmas films, made me just kind of appreciate the film a lot more. I feel like if it stripped all of that back.
Not set at Christmas, you mean?
It wasn't set at Christmas. It didn't have the Love Actually theme. Then it's only got the catfish going for it, really. It could be just a generic rom-com.
Yeah, and be kind of forgotten about, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it bulks up and adds up more value.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. For me, I would give it an 8. I wouldn't say it's a 10 worthy, but I wouldn't say it's the worst Christmas film I've ever seen.
No. I think it's a fair recommendation, really, if you want to check out on Netflix.
I feel like we've started strong. I'm quite happy with how we've started.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just excited to carry on.
I'm obviously excited to go through what I think I took my own home, but I think we've kind of picked some good films to cover this year, really.
Yeah.
And there are obviously going to be more ones that we have both seen and kind of just like talking about like our experience with them and just things like that.
And some classics that people know and just want to see what we say,
so
I guess.
Excited to be covering those films.
But yeah.
That's for next time. And if you want to check out some of our other episodes, especially the Christmas ones, then you could do so by going on to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. And we'd really appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, and wherever else they do the scoring system.
So if you haven't already and you want to follow us for more Christmas updates and pictures, hopefully we'll get better this time instead of missing it completely with like the Halloween of Oz decorations and every little Christmas aspect that we're going to be doing, then you can follow us on social media on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and
that's it.
Yeah, I'm thinking the X for some reason, that's what threw me off, but that's Twitter. X. Yeah, and you can follow us under the handle SP_filmviewers. And lastly but not least, our patrons. So if you want to become a patron, all you've got to do is pay £1 or $1.50 and you get a shout out on every single episode. I mean every single episode. And you get to pick a movie once a month and you'd still be in time to pick the Christmas movie.
Yep.
So I would highly recommend it.
All you need to do is go to patreon.com/SPFilmviewers to get all those perks. And now we're going to read out the lovely people who we already have in the Patreon family.
Okay. We have my wonderful mum, who, bless her, always votes for my best interests. We have your friend, Gren, who probably doesn't vote for my best interests, who is on Instagram under the handle cgren_draw.
We have Alex, who is under the handle Desperately Seeking Username on Instagram, and his soon-to-be wife, Shani, who is SDOG on Instagram.
I know, I can't wait. It's literally wedding bells are soon to come.
Mm-hmm.
We then have our other wonderful friends. So we've got Jonesy, who was our first friend patron. So standing strong, I feel like he's like a solid reputation for this. So he's on Instagram under the handle Weight Loss Jonesy. And then you've got his lovely partner, M. So she's under the handle M_Hayton on Instagram as well.
And last but not least, we've got our podcast friends, who are Nico from the Good, the Bad, and the Weird podcast.
Still need to watch that film.
We do. Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben.
It's not a Christmas film then, no.
No, not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. Ben from Film Floggers and Mark from 100 Things We Learned from Film.
They're all brilliant podcasts. We've all guested on each other's podcasts. We're really close. And I think that's what's lovely about doing a podcast is you do become a little family and you do kind of create relationships and friendships with people that you probably won't speak to otherwise.
Exactly.
So I think that's what's really special.
Yeah. But if you do want to be a guest on our podcast next year, then by all means, reach out to us. We obviously welcome anybody who wants to talk about films.
Yep, and vice versa. So if you want us to be on yours as well, we're more than happy to talk to anyone who wants us on theirs for film talking or anything like that, really. More than open to that. So definitely more freedom in the new year. Because obviously now this is just Christmas. But if somebody wants to talk about Christmas, then, you know, I'm more than welcome.
Yeah, well, that being said, thank you very much for listening to us once again, and we will speak to you next time.
Speak to you next time.
Bye now.
Bye.
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 Bye.